لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear sisters, how is everyone today? I hope and pray everyone is doing fine, inshallah wa ta'ala, on the highest levels of iman and taqwa. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, inshallah wa ta'ala. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute, we welcome you all in Journey Through Quran from Atlanta, Georgia. Ready for another session to boost our spirituality? Inshallah wa ta'ala, I'm hoping that everyone is ready. Alhamdulillah. Mabrook to everyone who logged in on time, and inshallah wa ta'ala who will come later. I'm hoping that from tomorrow they can log in early too, inshallah. Right? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We are so grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us for this blessing. See, there are so many people in our respective cities who are involved in time wasters or sleeping or killing time for several kind of forbidden things. And we chose to listen and we are trying to comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beautiful kalam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just be very, very grateful and thankful for this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. Alhamdulillah. We chose to use our time constructively, which has immediate and long-term benefits, biznillah. And we learned yesterday that we have to take advantage of the time while we have. When we will be stripped of this commodity, we do not know. And if we don't use it wisely, then only regrets will follow. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the time wasters and the regrets of our lives. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen summa ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave glad tidings to such people. Inshallah wa ta'ala, and we will be receiving those glad tidings too, inshallah. We pray that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on this journey and accept our tiniest effort to understand and implement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments upon ourselves, biznillah, inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and mercy, we completed Juz 8. Alhamdulillah. Everybody repeated all those bullet points, inshallah ta'ala. I'm hoping that everybody went through those bullet points. We can just revise all the points, inshallah wa ta'ala, quickly. We started with the continuation of Surah Al-A'raf. And then we also started Surah Al-An'am, which we will carry, inshallah wa ta'ala, in Juz 9 today. Main lesson we extracted from the juz was that we have to know that shaitan is an open and fierce enemy. How he entices us, how he creates hurdles in the path of our guidance, how he uses different tactics to distract, misguide and deviate us from the haqq. So we have to avoid him at any cost and we will not follow his footsteps, inshallah wa ta'ala. We are students of Quran, right? So we have to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help for it by doing dua. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلَ لُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. We always do in the beginning of the session, alhamdulillah. So we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help for our chest to be expanded and for making our journey easy, inshallah wa ta'ala. See, religions become easy when chest is expanded and it becomes hard upon its tightening. A believer's heart becomes alive when his chest is expanded to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. We will do dua in order to become a righteous servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah, we will do the dua. Ya muqallib al-qulub, sabbit qulubuna ala deenik. Ya musarrif al-qulub, sabbit qulubuna ala ta'atik. Inshallah wa ta'ala, we are asking steadfastness on this journey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Then we learned that it is so very important to know different types of shirks. And how shaitan makes it so attractive for people to follow their own desires against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments. He makes these desires look like so right for the people. And people get involved and prefer worldly life. So we will not follow shaitan's footsteps. We will seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help for that, inshallah wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let loose the leash of such people until He subhanahu wa ta'ala catches them. So we have to put our due share for the eradication of shirk, inshallah wa ta'ala. And when will it happen? When we will learn our deen, inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book properly, in the proper setting, under the teacher's supervision, inshallah wa ta'ala. See, sisters, since this entire universe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, He is the holy, solely creator, owner, and sustainer of it. Since He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only master, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala made its laws, which are very simple and clear. We have to have the knowledge that whatever we are doing is right. We will stay away from haram and we will worry about the day of judgment. We have to abide by the laws, no pick and choose. And breaking them will have consequences. We have to understand that every action has a consequence, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us khalifa of this world, of this planet Earth. And we have to do the assigned job. Whatever job was assigned to us, we have to do it with ikhlas. We have to become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's slave 100%. We cannot have less than that. We will learn Quran and we will bring barakah in our lives, biznillah. We also learned that our deeds will be weighed and not counted. We will be among the grateful ones and will not follow anyone blindly just because. We have to learn to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work for the Jannah. We all desire as Muslims, no matter how sinful a person is, but their desire is to earn Jannah. Subhanallah. But we will not just desire, we will work towards its achievement, inshallah wa ta'ala. But don't be put off by the amount of work it will take, you know, because every big goal requires hard work. But we will not be put off the amount of hard work we have to put into. Then the end will be so beautiful and worth it, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then nothing will, you know, we will say, oh, we would have worked more harder, you know. So, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will work towards its achievement. You know, if you have seen all those parents whose kids are becoming doctors or engineers, you see how long hours they study? Night after night, you know, like they don't sleep. They just maybe sleep for 1 or 2 hours and they keep on studying. Till they become whatever they want to. So I was thinking that do we spend enough time to achieve for the achievement of that highest goal? We don't. We barely do it and then we get tired. We have so many distractions. We have so many things to mind that we lose sight of it. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will not lose sight of it. As it is desired, and inshallah wa ta'ala, that's the ultimate success of a believer. And we will inshallah wa ta'ala work towards it, inshallah wa ta'ala. To learn more ways, we can be closer to Jannah's path and how we can earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's raza and His pleasure. Inshallah wa ta'ala, we will go to Atlanta, Georgia, we will start learning Juz 9 in our journey through Quran, inshallah ta'ala, by Sister Faiza. And I just require your attention for the better understanding and learning. Stay focused, write notes. If you miss anything, let it be. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish for us to gain, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will gain. So it is just the scratch surface of the ocean, ocean's depth, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored in Quran. And you can only achieve after you just study in depth. So just take it as a blessing that we can only at least listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. So we can make up our hearts, make up our minds, you know, set to that goal which we are, which we desire and we just want to achieve. So inshallah wa ta'ala, stay focused and open your musaf. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will go to Atlanta, Georgia. We will start our Juz 9th and we'll collect all the gems there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collected for us, inshallah wa ta'ala. Inshallah wa ta'ala, when we start, we will advertise it. You will have all the chances to inshallah fill up the forms. It will be after Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, not before. So stay put, inshallah ta'ala. I don't promise that because I don't know if we'll have all the details, but let's see. When the time comes, inshallah ta'ala, we'll address that. Okay, let's start our lesson today because we don't want to delay it further. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll go to Atlanta, Georgia. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wasim zada. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Another blessed day of month of Ramadan. Another blessed day so we can learn another juz. The new juz, the new day, the new life. Start your life with the mindset that today and now on, I am going to have a different mindset. And that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is nothing on the face of this earth that can bring you success the way the Quran can. So a lot of people are living in this life and they think they are happy. You and I also think that we were happy before learning this Quran. But once we see this Quran, attach this Quran, our hearts are attached to it. We find it very different. Isn't that so? Because we, all this life, all the time, throughout the life, we've been thinking that we're not missing out on anything. It is something, you know, the Quran is something. Once you taste it, only then you know what are you missing out. Unless you don't taste it, you'll never find out. This is why when some people, they say, no, we don't have time, we'll think about it and this and that. That's because they have not tasted this Quran, the beauty of this Quran. And once whoever tasted, they can testify. And I am sure you are testifying for yourself too that, yes, I never knew that I was missing out on this. And you know what? This is just a journey through it. Once you get the real course, once you get the real tafsir course, and for those of you who are present in this room, who are the student of knowledge, they can probably vouch for that and they can probably write it in their text too. If any of you are present who are already taking the class, write it down. How did it change your life and how it is benefiting you every time? And do you look forward to this class or you find it burden? You can let other people know. Maybe make this can be sadaqah jariyah for yourself, inshallah. With that, inshallah, first we're going to listen to the recitation of today's ayah and then we'll begin from there, inshallah.
قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه لنخرجنك يا شعيب والذين آمنوا معك من قريتنا أو لتعودن في ملتنا قال أولو كنا كارهين قد افترينا على الله كذبا إن عدنا في ملتكم بعد إذ نجانا الله منها وما يكون لنا أن نعود فيها إلا أن يشاء الله ربنا وسع ربنا كل شيء علما على الله توكلنا ربنا افتح بيننا وبين قومنا بالحق وأنت خير الفاتحين.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we're going to begin just 9. Before we get into this juz, we already learned juz 8 and juz 7 and juz 6. I don't know if you're thinking about it or not, but every juz gives you one strong theme that you can ponder upon. And yesterday's juz was about the shaitan and how the shaitan plays tricks on us and how he's present in our life, daily life, and really bothering us. We have done the review of the juz 8. We're not going to do that, but we're going to learn about the connection, inshallah. But first, let's find out what's the theme of today's juz. The theme of today's juz is arrogance leads to destruction. And this will be the first ayah, and from then on, we will learn how people were not able to see the truth, how people were not able to see and accept Islam, even though the message was given to them, even though everything was clear, even though the evidence that you and I have in our hand, they were given the same message, the oneness of Allah. But what stopped them? And that is arrogance. So inshallah, we will learn a lot about arrogance today. Why? Because if you think about it, we're learning the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We're learning here the tawheed of oneness. And the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not enter the heart of an arrogant person. Now the question comes in mind, what is arrogance? Because to you and I, many of us, majority of us, in fact, think that we don't have any kind of arrogance. You know why? Because arrogance is something that other people we see, oh, they try to do this and they try to do that. So here we need to understand what truly arrogance means and how it enters our heart. Because today we will learn that so many people giving the same message and yet they're not able to get it. In the next slide, you see some ayahs and the sayings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, arrogance will cause a person to be driven away from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is in Quran chapter 7, ayah number 146. What do we learn here? When a person has even a tiny bit of arrogance, they turn away from the truth and they turn away from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not find the truth anymore. Why? Because they are thinking of themselves. Another word for arrogance may be self-centered people. You know, when the person is self-centered, they only think about themselves. And when a person only thinks about themselves, then everything else, the rest of the world, whatever they are and whoever they are around them, they don't consider much of them. This is why Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has warned us that arrogance, no one with the slightest particle of arrogance in his heart, can you guys hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, alhamdulillah. You know why? Because we're learning about arrogance, and arrogance is a trait of who? Shaitan. And that's what we learned in yesterday's juz. The shaitan makes things impossible, and when the truth is there and people are not able to see it. And this is what we are going to learn today, the stories of previous nations. Truth was given to them, Only some accepted and the rest of them didn't. And what was the cause for it? If we can find out this root cause, then inshallah it will help us to figure out where do we stand. This is why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no one with the slightest particle of arrogance in his heart will enter paradise. This is in Bukhari. What do we learn there? We learn here is that arrogance, we may think that we don't have arrogance, but some way or the other, every human being have some kind of arrogance. If it is not there constantly, it comes and goes. Sometimes it turns into a big ego issue. Sometimes it may be a small pride that people hold or any different form. So inshallah, Abu Zuhri said, radiallahu anhu, as long as a person is arrogant, his heart will not submit to truth, accept it, nor benefit from it. What do we learn from this saying? We learn here that if a person is having a hard time coming to Quran, if a person is having a hard time accepting the faith, that means they have some kind of arrogance. Now, arrogance comes in many forms and shapes. For example, you know, somebody may be arrogant about the knowledge they have, because knowledge, when they have too many knowledge, this makes the person arrogant and they feel good about it. For some, people, the money that makes them arrogant, the standard of that they live. For some people, they like to be showing off and they have high status job or title. For them, things of
الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر
الحمد لله. Can you hear me? Just type yes. I don't see any chats yet. Okay, alhamdulillah. We just pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us, inshallah. Everyone should say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. You know why? Because shaitan is not going to make things easy for us. So inshallah, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep shaitan away from us so we can learn about the trait of shaitan. Because this is what made shaitan, right? Because he had this arrogance. So I was talking about how people have some arrogance. You know, sometimes they could be their kids. Sometimes people have this quality and this skill, and this is why they hold pride in it. You know, I am such a good cook. I am such a good writer. I'm such a good speaker. And some people hold pride that, look, when I speak, everybody gets quiet, and I am the center of the stage. I am the center of the party. I am the lifeline of the party, and that makes them arrogant. Some people have a very good taste in clothing, so they hold pride in that. You know what? My taste, my choice, everybody loves. Whenever I go to any party, everybody asks me, where did you get this outfit from? And that really feeds into it, and they do more of it. Think about it. People who feel arrogance about anything and everything, they actually hold pride in it so much that they want to do it more. Writers want to write more. Speakers want to speak more. Teachers want to teach more. Money, they want to earn more money. And when the kids are successful, they want to brag about it more. And this is how it works. Now it comes to shaitan. Shaitan became shaitan because of what? Because of his arrogance. Because he did not accept his mistake. And he stayed into shaitan. So what's the solution for this arrogance? Inshallah, if you go to the next slide, there's a dua we were going to learn, inshallah, today. And if I want you to repeat this dua after me, so we can actually familiarize ourselves. Some of you might already know this dua, but this dua is talks about basically the softness of the heart that trembles in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart that is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if the heart is not fearful, that's when people, when they hear Quran, nothing happens to them. You know, if people take this Quran, like for example, a student of knowledge, when they learn Quran and they have this intention that I want to get the degree and get the certificate and get the diploma, they only will get that. So from you and I, we need to make intention right now. Why am I sitting here? First of all, you're sitting here because of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, what do I want to achieve from this journey? The achievement is love of Allah. And you know what? The love of Allah does not enter any heart where there is even a tiny bit of arrogance. So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse our heart from any and all kinds of arrogance. Also, I want to give each one of you homework. You know, by the time now you have already completed 8 juz, you're on 9 juz today. So there's a little homework which Sister Rifat will ask you tomorrow in the recap time. And you know what the homework is? Homework is go home and make a list of things that you hold pride. Now, you don't have to share the list. I'm not saying that. All she will ask you if you did this or not. This is an exercise that you need to do to understand whether there is arrogance in us or not. Because you know why? Majority of the people who may hold some kind of arrogance, they never know that they hold arrogance. People are unaware of their own arrogance because many reasons. They can be out of ignorance. This is because they just don't realize it. This is because they just don't know it. This is because they don't consider such particular thing as in something that is arrogance. To them, you know, when they think about the word arrogance, what comes in their mind? Oh, shaitan was arrogance. Now, Zubillah, I'm not a shaitan. Or maybe Fir'aun was arrogance. I'm not Fir'aun, you know. And this is how shaitan keeps you in the verge of ignorance. And you and I never realize what kind of arrogance we are trapped into. So basically, please do try to make a list and find out. It could be something very tiny too. Like feeling good about when somebody talks to you, somebody gives you importance. It makes you feel good. In other words, you can write down a simple feeling. This is how you will be easy to come up with a list. And another name for arrogance is pride. Another name for arrogance is feel good in your own effort. Because this feeling good part is also type of an arrogance. Another type of arrogance is when you give credit to yourself instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also one kind of arrogance. So by the time we're done with these shows, you and I should have a list of things that what is arrogance, inshallah. And the connection between, in the next slide, between juz and juz 8 and juz 9 is the shaitan became shaitan because of his arrogance. Right? And arrogance hinders in accepting the truth. And this is the lesson we will learn from many of the ayahs today. Why is it the shaitan people, when they listen and they're not able to get the message? So inshallah, with that, we will begin and we will listen to ayah number 88. We'll start with the ayah number 88, inshallah. I hope you guys are able to listen to me. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, notice, قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ لَنُخْرِجَنَّكَ يَا شُعَيْبُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَكْ مِنْ قَرْيَتِنَا أَوْ لَتَعُودُنَّ فِي مِلَّتِنَا قَالَ أَوَلَوْ كُنَّا كَارِهِينَ. What do we learn here? We learn here is that, said the eminent ones, who were arrogant among his people, we will surely await you, O Shu'aib, and those who have believed with you from our city, or you must return to our religion. He said, even if
الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله. Can you guys hear me? الحمد لله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah SWT, let's make dua. Allah SWT, make it easy and put barakah in our time and no more distractions and no more interruptions. You know why? Because now this is a beautiful lesson we're about to learn, and that is the story of Shuaib alayhi salam. I'm not sure if you heard the first ayah or not. Ayah number 88. Said the eminent ones who were arrogant among his people. Notice here. Who said that? The eminent one. Why? Because what made them arrogant? Because they had the status, right? They were eminent, the elite class, you can say. They could be rich, they could be wealthy, they could be healthy, they could be in some kind of a higher status, some kind of a position holder, some kind of a rank they hold. That's what make people arrogant. This is why we learned that in the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, only the poor, the people and the people of the lower status, they came to Islam. And this was the case in every prophet. You know why? Because of the arrogance. When Allah SWT blesses you and I with some kind of a blessings, it makes us arrogant. And you know what? Blessings themselves are not wrong. Having blessings, having wealth, health, money, whatever you have, it is a good thing. As long as a person stays humble, as long as a person stays grateful, then they are able to see the truth. They're able to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this case, the eminent one says, the arrogant people, we will surely evict you. Look at this sentence. Doesn't it tell you that it is filled with arrogance? Who are you? We are everything. Who are you? You have nothing to do, and we can do whatever we want. Today we see this same thing in today's leadership qualities, right? When people who have arrogance and they become leader, they think the rest of the people around them mean nothing to them. And you know what? On a personal level, when we try to judge this, sometimes, you know, have you ever met those people? When you go around them, you find that they are everything and you find very small of yourself. So this is not the right thing. A person, you and I need to develop such quality that when people are around us, they feel important. And you know, they can only feel if a person does not carry arrogance on their own. So this is where we need to check. So they said, O Shuaib, and those you who have believed with you from our city, or you must return to our religion. So he said, even if we were unwilling, meaning they gave them two options. Either you come back to us in our religion, or we'll expel you from the city. This is what the arrogance does. 89. We would have invented against Allah a lie if we return to your religion. Who's saying that? Shuaib alayhi salam is saying that if we return to your religion, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable, and we cannot do that. And it's going to be like lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So
Allah has saved us from it. Let's make dua that Allah save us from this arrogance. And it is not for us to return to it, except that Allah, our Lord, should will. Our Lord has encompassed all things in knowledge. Upon Allah we have relied. Our Lord, decide between us and our people in truth. And you are the best of the those who give in decision. This is the attitude of a people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the arrogant people respond. Ayah number 90. They said, set the imminent ones who disbelieve among his people, if you should follow Shu'aib, indeed you would then be losers. Because arrogant people think that they are the best one, the rest of the world is losers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, you may think whatever you want, but in reality, so the earthquake seized them, and they became within their home corpses falling prone. This is the ending of arrogance. Nine number 92, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who denied Shu'aib, it was as though they had never resided there. Those who denied Shu'aib, it was as though they were the losers. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. When the nations become too arrogant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces them. And this is why the whole nations were wiped off in the time of prophets. Ayah number 93, and he, that is Shu'aib, turned away from them and said, O my people, I certainly conveyed to you the message of my Lord and advised you. So how could I grieve for a disbelieving people? And we sent to no city a prophet who was denied except that which we seized its people with poverty and hardship, that they might humble themselves. In ayah number 94 to ayah number 94 to 99, we learn the topic you can write is you reap what you sow, right? So whatever we do, this is exactly what we're going to get. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, and we sent to no city a prophet who was denied, except that we seized its people with poverty and hardship. What do we learn here? When people deny the message, when people ignore the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them affliction in the form of poverty, in the form of any hardship, that they might humble themselves. So what do we learn? Two things. When we see around us, majority of the people are not living by the book, don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the poverty right now in the form of loss of jobs and businesses? And don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us the hardship by locking people down in their own homes? Despite of no visible jail, people are still bound in their home. Don't you think this is a anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And another thing we learn here is that hardships like this that we are in comes because so that we can humble ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the time that you and I are living right now, this is the time we need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our hearts are softened. People feel that they have nothing into their control. And this is the message. And ayah number 95, we learn, then we exchange in place of the bad condition good until they increase and prospered and said, our fathers also were touched with hardship and ease. So we seized them suddenly while they did not perceive. What do we learn in this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them hardship, and if they don't come back to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them ease. What does that mean? That means hardship and ease both are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is easier to come back to Allah when there is a hardship. But it is not easy to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when there's ease, because people become arrogant. When people are blessed with too many blessings, that's when the arrogance comes in too. And that's why people are not able to see the truth anymore. So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from, because today we live in the times of ease. Even despite of the hardship people may be going through, still we have so much ease. We have peace, we have tranquility, we have all kinds of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and people forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. in ayah number 96, and if only the people of the cities had believed and feared Allah, we would have opened, that is, bestowed upon them blessings from the heavens and the earth, but they denied the messengers, so we seized them for what they were earning. What do we learn here? When people have taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase their risk. In other words, taqwa is one of the key to provision. If people are suffering in any kind of financial or any other problem, they should try to humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when taqwa comes in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you risk beyond the imagination of a person. And ayah number 97, then did the people of the cities feel secure from our punishment coming to them at night while they were asleep? Meaning, how can people do not realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can catch them at any time? Or did the people of the cities feel secure from our punishment coming to them in the morning while they were at play? Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can catch anybody, any minute, any moment, and we cannot do anything about it. May Allah save us from this kind of catching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us time to really fix. There was a son who was diagnosed with, who just got graduated from a early education, some degree, and who was diagnosed with some terminally ill disease. He called his father and he said, "So, father, what did you give me?" He said, "What do you mean? I gave you everything." He said, "No, I am talking about I'm not going to live in this world. Yes, you gave me the worldly education. Yes, you gave me the comfort of the life. But I am about to leave this world. What am I taking with me? Did you give me Allah? Did you give me Quran? Did you teach me Islam?" And father was quiet because this son, he had only few months to live. At that time, in the hospital, more teachers were hired, and they came and they taught him Quran, and they taught him the basics of Islam, because he did not know, since he had no time, and he had only few hours, few months maybe, to live and learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was very fortunate enough to go through this. Many of us are living blindly. We have no idea that the time will disappear one day and we will be in the regrets. May Allah save us all from the regrets like that. Then, did they feel secure from the plan of Allah? I want you to highlight this. Do we feel secure from the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But no one feels secure from the plans of Allah except the losing people. What do we learn this here? We learn here when the people don't want to know anything, they feel secure in who they are. You know, have you heard people saying, you know, it's okay. Alhamdulillah, I am living Islam too. I don't need more than that. I am good enough. Keep mind your own business. I don't need to listen anymore. I don't like advices. These people, you know, Maulvi, these scholars, always giving these advices and telling people do this and do not. And you know what? They're just boring people. I don't want anything. You know what? Why they say that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps them happy the way they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps them busy in what they do. And they never realize that they are missing out on something. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make us among those. From ayah number 100 to 108, we learn, has it not become clear to you, those who inherited, has it not become clear to those who inherited the earth after its previous people that if we willed, we could afflict them for their sins, but we seal over their hearts so they do not hear? What do we learn in this ayah? Meaning, people just don't get it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflict them with because of their sins, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put seals on them, seals on their heart. Let's make the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us from the seal. Ayah 101, those cities we relate to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of their news, and certainly did their messengers come to them with clear proofs, but they were not to believe in that which they had denied before. Thus does Allah seals over the hearts of the disbelievers. And we did not find for most of them any covenant, but indeed we found most of them defiantly disobedient. What do we learn here? Majority deny the truth. majority deny the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's because of their arrogance. And they feel good in wherever they are because they are al-fasiqeen. Who are fasiqeen? Fasiqeen are the one who commit sin openly and they feel good about it. Ayah number 103. Then we sent after them Musa with our signs to the Pharaoh and establishment, but they were unjust towards them. So, see, how was the end of the corruptors? What do we learn here? Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us lessons from the history. The topic for these ayahs is lessons from the history. Because if we don't learn the lesson, what happened to the people in the past, we will not be successful. Smart people learn from the experiences of the others. Smart people go back in the history. Even in the world, this is what people do. When they are learning some whatever organization, when they are inventing stuff, when they are becoming scientists, dentists, doctor, whatever, what do? They learn from the experiences of the previous doctors. They learn from the experiences and the experiments of the previous people. Why? So they don't make the same mistake and they are successful. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we are supposed to be doing. Learning from the stories. Some people say, Quran has too many old time stories. What do we gonna do? We need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, these are not just stories. These are there for you to learn lessons from. Ayah number 104. And Musa said, O Pharaoh, I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. Who is obligated not to say about Allah except the truth. I have come to you with clear evidence from your Lord. So, sent with me, children of Israel. Ayah number 106. You know what the response of the Pharaoh was? The Pharaoh said, if you have come with a sign, then bring it forth. Do you feel the arrogance in his sentence? He's saying, if you are untruth, why don't you bring it? Meaning, he's challenging him. If you should be the truthful one. So he, meaning Musa alayhi salam, threw his staff, and suddenly it was a serpent manifest. Musa alayhi salam was given two miracles by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One was to scare people off like a serpent, like this. And the other one was a shiny hand that he would put under his armpit and it would come out shiny. So, and he drew out his hand. Thereupon it was white with radiance for the observers. Why? Because he was trying to prove them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them miracle. And you know what? Miracles didn't work on Pharaoh. Said the eminent among the people of Pharaoh. I want you to highlight this ayah again, ayah number 109. Because from 109 to 126, what we learn here is their response to the Musa alayhi salam. Why? Because of their arrogance. Notice the words here. Said the eminent ones, among them, among the people of the Pharaoh, indeed, this is learned magic. Mean. This person is a learned magician. Why did they say that? Because they did not want to believe. When people do not want to believe anything, they come up with all kinds of excuses. Who wants to expel you from your land through magic? So what do you instruct? They said, postpone the matter of him and his brother and send among the city's gatherers. You know, in ayah number 11 we learn, when people have this arrogance, when they don't want to see and admit the truth, they want to advertise it. Look, we are so good. We want to let the world know that these two people, Harun alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, are nothing. So they gathered the people together. What happened was when Musa alayhi salam had no power at the time, right? He was alone. He had no army. He had no social media to back up with. He had no TV channels that he would own, and he had no way to spread this news around the world. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this job to be done by Pharaoh, the people of the Pharaoh. What do we learn here? If Muslims, if the believers don't do their job, Allah will ask non-believers and get their job done through the non-believers. And this happened at the time of Musa alayhi salam, and this happens now. Look at the example of 9/11. A lot of people didn't even heard the name Islam before. After 9/11, they are the one who spread the name in the name of terrorism. Everybody get to know the name of Islam, right? So another thing we learned here is that Musa alayhi salam had no ability to spread the message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Fir'aun. Fir'aun is the one who hired people. Fir'aun is the one who gathered people, and he hired people to give. Go out and spread the message and bring them and gather together so we can defeat Musa alayhi salam. They said, postpone the matter of him and his brother and send among the city's gatherers. Who will bring you ever learned magician? And the magicians came to Pharaoh. They said, indeed, for us is a reward if we are the predominant one. Magicians were so sure that they will be the one who is going to be the winning party. This is why they asked that. He said, yes. And moreover, you will be among those made near me. They said, O Musa, either you throw your staff or we will be the ones who to throw first. He said, throw. You know why? Because Iman gives you confidence. This is why Musa was not scared of asking them, no, why don't you go first? So he said, throw. And when they threw, they bewitched the eyes of the people and struck terror into them. And then they presented a great feat of magic. And we inspired to Musa, throw your staff. And at once it devoured what they were falsifying. This is the power of the truth. Many falsehoods are out there. Many darknesses are out there. But one light of Quran can defeat them all. One asa of Musa, one staff of Musa took over the floor. And one Quran can really change people. So the truth was established. What do we learn here? Truth always prevails. And abolish was what they were doing. And they, meaning the Pharaoh and his people, were overcome right there and became debased. And the magician fell down in prostration to Allah. Why is that? How come Pharaoh didn't? What made magicians fall down? Because magicians found the truth. They saw it and they realized it and they took the arrogant on the side and they accepted the truth. Pharaoh was watching the same show. No difference, right? But Pharaoh was not able to get it because he was arrogant. Lesson for you and I. We need to get rid of arrogance. They said, we have believed in the Lord of the worlds. This is what Iman does. Even though they should be scared, right, that Pharaoh would punish them. But no, they became very fearless. The Lord of the Musa and Harun said, Pharaoh, you believed in him before I gave you permission? Indeed, this is the conspiracy which you conspired in the city to expel their from its people. But you are going to know. What do we learn here? That when the people who are eminent, the rich, the powerful people, they want others to follow them. And this is exactly what we see today. The leaders of countries wants to follow them no matter what they do. And people are naive enough to follow blindly. I will surely cut off your hands and your feet on opposite sides. Then I will surely crucify you all. What do we learn here? People who are arrogant, they give the harshest punishment. They make things hard for the people around them. They said, indeed, to our Lord, we will return. And you do not resent us except because we believed in the signs of our Lord. When they came to us, our Lord pour upon us patience. This is a beautiful dua. And let's say the dua together. And dua is, Rabbana afrigh alayna sabran wa tawaffana muslimin. This is ayah number 126. Inshallah, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us memorize this dua and we can ask this dua. So what did they say? After seeing the truth, and this is what we learn here. When a believer is really confident about their truth, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep them steadfast in their iman. Our Lord, pour upon us patience and let us die as Muslims in submission to you. And the eminent one among the people of the Pharaoh said, will you leave Musa and his people to cause corruption in the land and abandon you and your gods? Pharaoh said, we will kill their sons and keep their women alive. And indeed, we are subjugators over them. Ayah number 127 to 129, we learn a reaction of an arrogant person. to, this is what they said. Said Musa alayhi salam to his people, seek help through Allah and be patient. Indeed, the earth belongs to Allah. He causes to inherit it whom he wills, to his servants, and the best outcome is for the righteous. What do we learn here? When arrogant leaders try to suppress you, move out, do something, because Allah SWT is with you, and Allah's earth is very huge and vast. And have patience. These are the two qualities we need to have. Ayah number 129. They said, we have been harmed before you came to us, and after you have come to us. He said, Pharaoh, your Lord will destroy your enemy and grant you success, grant you succession in the land, and see how you will do. And the next paragraph from ayah number 130 to 141, we learn rise and falls of the nations. It is a sunnah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No nation stays in power forever. If you see the next line, no nation stay in power forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could always bring this change, ups and downs. So these pharaoh, even though they were the powerful nation of the time, did they survive? No, they didn't. They thought that they will survive forever because of their arrogance. People, you and I sometimes have this attitude, whatever condition we are living in, this is forever. If people have prosperity, they assume that this will stay forever. If people are blessed with children, they assume they'll stay with them forever. If people have some kind of a skill, they assume that they'll stay with them forever. If people have health, they assume that they will stay forever. What we learn from this is that we need to be grateful for everything we have, because time will change and we need to use our skills, ability, time, money, wealth, kids now, because we may not have them tomorrow. Ayah number 130. And we certainly seized the people of the Pharaoh with years of famine and deficiency in food, that perhaps they would be reminded. What do we learn here? Hardship comes, so people come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 131, but when good in that is provision came to them, they said, this is ours by right. Isn't that the psychology of the human too? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixes you with problems, you say, why me? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you blessing, you say, it is my skill. It is my ability. It was me who made it happen. This is my education, and this is what I supposed to be doing, and this is my skills. And if a bad condition strikes them, they saw an evil omen in Musa and those with him. Unquestionably, their fortune is with Allah, but most of them do not know. Ayah number 132. And they said, no matter what signs you bring us with which to bewitch us, we will not be believers in you. This sentence is filled with arrogance. When people say no, openly, oh, I cannot come to Quran. I am too busy. I am working. I have this problem to solve, and I have this errands to run. May Allah open up the hearts of Muslim Ummah to come to this Quran. So we sent upon them the flood and locusts and lice and frogs and blood as distinct signs, but they were arrogant and were a criminal people. Question. What kind of locust or some kind of a sign coming on us right now? We call it Corona, COVID, COVID-19. It is a sign. If people ignore this sign and if they don't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be getting the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us realize that we are going through affliction. We are going through signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us chance to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is afflicting us in this position that the whole world is feeling right now. Ayah number 134. And when the punishment descended upon them, they said, O Musa, invoke for us your Lord by what he has promised you. Notice here. When people don't want to believe in Allah, they don't even make the ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. They're asking Musa alayhi salam. This is Bani Israel, the followers, the believers. They are asking Musa alayhi salam, you make the ah. today we see that this very common thing in Muslim Ummah also, they always ask others to make du'a. Imagine if you ask somebody else to make du'a, if somebody's asking you to make du'a for them, do you think you will do it from the bottom of the heart? Unless you love them, yes, maybe. But otherwise, you won't. So we need to understand oneness of Allah here. Ask Allah directly. Allah is closer to you than on the way you can make du'a for yourself. It's better. And you should do the things that can make you earn the du'as of the people. Instead of asking for to make them du'a, do something for them so they can give you du'a from the bottom of their heart. So, if you can remove the punishment from us, we will surely believe you and we will send with you the children of Israel. Sorry about that. In ayah number 134, we learn here that this was asked by the Pharaoh that, O Musa, invoke for us your Lord. And you know, recently, this recent event, we learned that the Chinese president also asked the Chinese Muslim, go make dua to your Lord that your Lord can get rid of this coronavirus problem. So this is then true and this is true now too. People who do not believe in God, they actually contact their Muslim friends. In fact, recently somebody shared this story that their neighbor was going through some kind of a terminally ill problem and they called their Muslim neighbor and they said, I know you believe in God and I know your God listened to you. You make dua for me. And sure enough, this person is cured now. And they shared that this is because of the dua of the Muslim that they made for their God. But when we remove the punishment from them until a term which they were to reach, then at once they broke their words. This is the psychology of humans. So we took retribution from them and we drowned them in the sea because they denied our signs and were heedless of them. And we caused the people who had been oppressed to inherit the eastern region of the land and the western ones which we had blessed and the good word that is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of your Lord was fulfilled for the children of Israel because of what they had patiently endured and we destroyed all that Pharaoh and his people were producing and what they had been building. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never let anybody live forever. And we took the children of Israel across the sea. Then they came upon a people intent in devotion to some idols of theirs. They, the children of Israel, said, O Musa, make for us a god just as they have gods. He said, indeed, you are a people behaving ignorantly. Indeed, those worshippers destroyed it is that in which they are engaged and worthless is whatever they were doing. He said, is it other than Allah I should desire for you as a God what he has preferred you over the worlds? In ayah number 140, we learn, even though this was a recent event that the people, the Bani Israel, were freed from the hardship of Pharaoh and they were slaves in his rule and Musa alayhi salam was able to take them out with the help of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them out from this affliction and they forgot. They forgot already. And they're saying now let's make something idol that we can worship. And recall, O children of Israel, when we saved you from the people of Pharaoh who were afflicting you with the worst torment, killing your sons. I want you to take a moment and think about it. Is there any affliction that can be worse than this? Killing your own child? And keeping your women alive. You know why they left their women alive? So they can use them and they can make them pregnant with their own generation. And this is such a big punishment Bani Israel went through. And in that was a great trial from your Lord. Wasn't it a great trial? And we think that we are going through trial? Let's come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah save all of us from any and all kinds of trials. Ayah number 142 to 147, a unique meeting. What is that? When Musa alayhi salam met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we made an appointment with Musa alayhi salam for 30 nights and preferred them for the addition of 10. So the term of his Lord was completed as 40 nights. And Musa said to his brother Harun, take my place among my people, do right by them, and do not follow the way of the corruptors. And when Musa arrived at our appointment time, and his Lord spoke to him, he said, My Lord showed me yourself that I may look at you. Allah said, you will not see me, but look at the mountain. If it should remain in place, then you will see me. But when his Lord appeared to the mountain, he rendered it level, and Musa fell unconscious. And when he awoke, he said, exalted are you. I have repented to you, and I am the first among my people of the believers. What do we learn here? In this dunya, it is not possible for any human being to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. But we learn from Quran and Ahadith, the people of the Jannah will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given the strength to our eyes right now in this dunya so we can see Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our eyes and give us strength enough so we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you and I should have one goal. And that is see the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a day of judgment. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in Jannah, we will be so happy. We will be saying Alhamdulillah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you wanted something more? And people of Jannah will say, we have everything. What else can we ask for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I will show you myself. And that's when the most of the delight will happen in the hearts of the people of Jannah. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. Allah said, O Musa, I have chosen you over the people with my messages and my word to you. So take what I have given you and be among the grateful. These are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us. And what is that? Take what I have given you. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? This Quran and Sunnah. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants as a result? To be grateful. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us grateful and attach to the Quran. Ayah number 145. And we wrote for him on the tablets something of all things, instructions and explanations for all things, saying, take them with determination and order your people to take the best of it. I will show you the home of the defiantly disobedient. And I will turn away from my signs those who are arrogant upon the earth without right, and if they should see every sign, they will not believe in it. And if they see the way of consciousness, they will not adopt it as a way. But if they see the way of error, they will adopt it as a way. That is because they have denied our signs, and they were heedless of them. Those who denied our signs and the meeting of Allah of the hereafter, their deeds have become worthless. Are they recompensed except for what they used to do? From ayah number 148 to 151, write down the topic from rise to fall. And the people of Musa made after their departure from their ornament a calf, an image having lowing sound. Did they not see that it could not neither talk, neither speak to them, nor guide them to a way? They took it for worship, and they were wrongdoers. What do we learn in this ayah? When people deny the word of Allah, they do not follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they become ungrateful, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in some position of shirk. And this is what they did. They made this calf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them so blind that they were not able to see that this calf that they made is not even showing them any way. It's not even guiding them. It's not even talking back to them. It's not even answering to their du'as. And they're still worshipping it. This is how blind a person becomes. And when regrets overcame them and they saw that they had gone astray, they said, if our Lord does not have mercy upon us and forgive us, we will surely be among the losers. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Realizing the mistake and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 150. And when Musa returned to his people, angry and grieved. I want you to understand this. We have already learned that anger is a natural thing. But we need to supposed to drink our anger, right? But when you see something untrue, when you see some kind of association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you see some kind of things that are wrong, then you should get angry. Today, one of the problem is when people see things wrong, it doesn't make them angry. Musa alayhi salam had such a strong iman, he was angry when he saw that people are worshipping calf. How wretched is that by which you have replaced me after my departure? Were you impatient over the matter of your Lord? And he threw down the tablets and seized his brother by the hair of his head, pulling him toward him. Harun said, O son of my mother, indeed the people overpowered me and were about to kill me. So let not the enemies rejoice over me and do not place me among the wrongdoing people. When Musa alayhi salam came back, the people started worshipping cow. So Musa alayhi salam held accountable to his brother. How come you didn't stop? But he said, no, he did stop. So what do we learn here? When you as a leader, when you leave your home, appoint somebody else behind you. And also people, when Musa's brother Harun alayhi salam gave the reasoning, what happened? Musa alayhi salam still stayed mad? No. He immediately forgave. He immediately made dua. And this is what's required. When we get angry, don't hold your anger forever. Sometimes people like to keep their anger for years to come. Ayah number 151. Musa said, my Lord, forgive me and my brother and admit us into your mercy, for you are the most merciful of the merciful. This is the quality of our iman, meaning when people make mistake, what do? The people of iman come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people of arrogance do not even admit their mistakes. Ayah number 152 to 157, Allah's decision. Indeed, those who took the calf for worship will obtain anger from their Lord and humiliation in the life of this world, and thus do we recompense the inventors of falsehood. But those who commit misdeeds and then repent after them and believe, indeed, your Lord thereafter is forgiving and merciful. We learn here that no matter how big of a mistake we make, as long as we are forgiven, we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek His forgiveness, Allah will forgive. This is an ayah of hope and mercy. Ayah number 154. And when the anger subsided in the Musa, he took up the tablets. He got the tablets, meaning the Torah, written Torah came in written form. Unlike Quran came in an oral form, in a speech form. Torah, so he, in this inscription, was guidance and mercy for those who are fearful of their Lord. Ayah number 155. And Musa chose from his people 70 men of our appointment, and when the earthquake seized them, he said, my Lord, if you had willed, you could have destroyed them before and me, and would you destroy us for what the foolish among us have done? This is not but your trial, but which you send astray, when you will be you will and guide whom you will. You are our protector, so forgive us and have mercy upon us, and you are the best of the givers. This is another beautiful dua that we learn here, is that he asked for his people that Allah forgive them and overlook them. Why? Because you are the forgiver. Ayah number 156. And decree for us in this world that which is good, and also in the hereafter. Indeed, we have turned back to you. Allah said, my punishment, I afflict with it whom I will, but my mercy encompasses all things. So I will decree it, especially for those who fear me and give zakah, and those who believe in our verses. What do we learn here? This is a sequence that we need to write down. If we follow all this, then inshallah, Allah's mercy will come. And what else we learn here? It's very important that the following the sunnah of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they did not follow the sunnah of Musa alayhi salam, and then when they came back and made the dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. And this is what we need to do. Follow the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extensively. And you know, how can you follow his sunnah? We can follow his sunnah 10 different ways. And this is what we learn in ayah number 157, inshallah. Those who follow the messenger, the unlettered prophet, meaning Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom they find written, that is mentioned in what they have of the Torah and the Gospel, meaning a coming of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was written in their book, who enjoins upon them what is right and forbids them what is wrong, and makes lawful for them the good things and prohibits for them the evil, and relieves them for their burden and the shackles which were upon them. So they who have believed in him, honored him, supported him, and followed him, the light which was sent down. With him, it is those who will be the successful ones. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O mankind, first we need to understand what are the some of the ways we can follow Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we learn when you follow a sunnah of Prophet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful on you. If you look at the slide here, you see different things. They are listed on this slide. What are they? First of all, believe in him. Second, obey him. Third, love him. Fourth, protect him. Fifth, help his deen. How can you help his deen? By learning it, spreading it, be part of it, carrying his mission. And then send salutations upon hearing his name. And love his friends and dislike his enemies. Question, do we dislike his enemies too? And love his companions, means Sahaba, and then be sincere to him, meaning follow his sunnah, inshallah. From ayah number 158 to 162, similarities between Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Musa alayhi salam. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. O mankind, indeed, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. From him to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, there is no deity except him. He gives lives and causes death. So believe in Allah and his messenger, the unlettered prophet, who believe in Allah and his words, and follow him that you may be guided. And among the people of Musa is a community which guides by truth and by establishes justice. This is what is so important, inshallah. And then we learn here, and we divided them into 12 descendant tribes. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since they were 12 people, 12 groups, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided them into 12 tribes. And we inspired to Musa when his people implored him for water, strike with your staff the stone, and there gush forth from it 12 springs. Every people, that is tribe, knew its watering place. And we shaded them with clouds and sent down upon them manna and quails, saying, eat from good things with which we have provided you. And they wronged us not, but they were only wrongdoing themselves. What do we learn here? Since they were 12 tribes, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a spring, coming out 12 springs. Why? What do we learn here? Organization, planning, do the things the right way. So people get, today we see in Muslim Ummah, the lack of organization, lack of planning. People say, oh yeah, it's okay, it will be done this way or that way. No. Muslims are supposed to be someone who do things in a planned and organized way. And mention O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it was said to them, dwell in this city, that is Jerusalem, and eat from it wherever you will, and say, relieve us from our burden, that is sin, and enter the gate, bowing humbly, we will then forgive you your sins. We will increase the doers of the good in goodness and reward. What do we learn here? First of all, we learn here that do your part first and then rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing we learn here is that risk comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People should not rely on their own effort only. You can do your part, but rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next thing we learn in this same ayah is that you have to, and I have to, humble myself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because once we humble ourselves, only then the arrogance will go away. And once the arrogance goes away, only then the love of Allah will come in. Question, do we want the love of Allah to enter upon heart? If we do, then we must realize what kind of small or big arrogance that we may consider that is arrogance or not, we need to work on it. You know why? Because Allah loves al-muhsineen, meaning the doer of the good. Sanasidul muhsineen. And doers of the good, and the muhsineen are who? Muhsineen are the one who humble themselves, who don't consider anything of themselves, and who do everything in the level that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever I have, it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi-idhnillah. And you know, easy way to bring this humbleness in ourselves, very, very effective way, is change our sentences. Instead of saying, my cooking is so good, say, Allah made me such a good cook. My writing is so amazing. Allah gave me the skill of writing. My speech, people are impressed and mesmerized. Allah gave me the power to speak. My kids, they are so successful. Allah made them successful. My husband, wow, amazing. Allah gave me the blessed husband. All these things really matter. This will humble our heart and this will connect our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 162. But those who wronged among them change the word to a statement other than that which has been said to them. So we sent upon them a punishment from the sky for the wrong that they were doing. What do we learn here? Bani Israel did not humble themselves, and they were told to say ittatun, and they changed the word. And what do we learn here? When people don't humble themselves, they don't seek forgiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they consider that they are good enough, they don't need anybody else, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts punishment to them. If you and I want to save ourselves from any kind of punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we must humble ourselves. From ayah number 163 to 171, the topic is more details of Prophet, people of Musa alayhi salam. And ask them about the town that was by the sea, when they transgressed in the matter of the Sabbath, when their fish came to them openly on their Sabbath day, and the day they had no Sabbath, they did not come to them. Thus did we give them trials because they were defiantly disobedient. What do we learn here? When people are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when people do not humble themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts test upon test on them. And this was the case of Sabbath for them. What was the reaction of them? When this test and trial came to them, there were three types of people who were divided. And what did they do? And when a community among them said, why do you advise or warn a people whom Allah is about to destroy or to punish with a severe punishment? They, the advisor, said, to be absolved before your Lord, and perhaps they may fear him. When this affliction of Sabbath did come, and what was the case there? When they would try to catch fish on any other day, fish would not come rise on a surface. But on the day of Saturday, the Sabbath day, they're supposed to rest. That was a Lord day for them. And that day, fish would come on the seashore. And it was very tempting. And today we see the same thing. People are tempted with the business tactics, and they may not find it halal, but they still go ahead and do that. And this is exactly what they did. This was their business, right? This was their earning. And they saw that it is okay if it's Saturday, they tried to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there were three groups formed. One was the one who was doing this thing. And the other one was watching quietly, not doing anything. And the third one was not doing it, but stopping them too. So which one was saved at the end of the day? The one who was doing it? No. The one who was watching and stay quiet and mind their own business? No. The one who actually said something, tried to stop them, they were the only ones saved. Lesson for you and I. If we don't speak up, if we don't say, then we are the one who are part of the problem. Because they say, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, right? So if we don't speak up for the truth, that means we are endorsing the truth. And this is where the problem lies of today's ummah. Ayah number 165. Did I do ayah number 164? And when a community among them said, why do you advise or warn of people whom Allah about to destroy or to punish with a severe punishment? They, the advisor, said, to be observed before your Lord, and perhaps they may fear him. And when they, that is those advised, forgot that by which they had been reminded, we saved those who had forbidden evil. Notice, Nahi Anil Munkir. We've been learning it for many, many ayahs that it is required by us to do forbid evil. And they are the one who were saved and seize those who wronged with the rest punishment because they were defiantly disobedient. Ayah number 166. So when they were insolent about that which they had been forbidden, we said to them, be apes, despised. And mention when your Lord declared that he would surely continue to send upon them until the day of resurrection those who would afflict them with the worst torment. Indeed, your Lord is swift in penalty, but indeed, he is forgiving and merciful. Ayah number 168. And we divided them throughout the earth into nations. Of them, some were righteous, and of them, some were otherwise. And we tested them with good times and bad, that perhaps they would return to the obedience. What do we learn here? Good times and bad times, both are basically a test papers. It is up to us if we consider them as a test paper, because now when the hardship comes, if people really pass the test and be patient and still grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them. And people are giving the blessings, if they consider their blessings as a test paper and they will use their blessing the proper way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be sufficed. So what do we learn? Both ways we can enter Jannah if we are truly grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in good times and bad times. And there followed them successors who inherited the scripture while taking the commodities of their lower life and saying, it will be forgiven for us. And if an offer like it comes to them, they will again take it. Was not the covenant of the scripture, that is the Torah, taken from them? And they would not say about Allah except the truth. And they studied that with that was in it. And the home of the hereafter is better for those who fear Allah. What do we learn? Taqwa will earn the fear of Allah, and basically it will get you the home of hereafter. So will you not reason? This is an invitation to think about and make decisions accordingly. But those who hold fast to the book of Allah, meaning this Quran, and establish prayer, indeed, we will not allow to be lost the reward of the reformers. Ayah number 171, and mention, when we raise the mountain above them, as if it was a dark cloud, and they were certain that it would fall upon them. And Allah said, take what we have given you with determination. Highlight this part. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاذْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the same message given to them, and this is the same message given to us. When the message is lost along the way, people turn away. Look at the present day Bani Israel. They don't appear to be Muslims. Why? Because خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاذْكُرُوا is not there. For Muslims, a few generations from now, Allah knows best what's going to happen. We need to do our part in putting this effort to keep this book in our life and do خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Hold on to it tightly. You know why? Because it's easy to drop it. People use Quran like a tissue paper. When in times of need, in times of hardship, they take it out. They recite ayahs and they put it away. People need Quran in their lives throughout the 12 months. But some people only take out Quran in the month of Ramadan. And the once the month of Ramadan is gone, they don't need Quran in their life. Because now they are the people of the month of Ramadan. They are the Muslim, Ramadani Muslim, meaning the Muslims in Ramadan. Outside of the Ramadan, they don't open Quran for the whole next year. So may Allah save us from among those who do not attach their hearts to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 172 to 181, promise with Allah. And وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Very, very important ayah. This ayah is basically a covenant we all made, our souls made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people have forgotten this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding. And mention, when your Lord took from the children of Adam. Question. Are we the children of Adam? Yes, we are. Did Allah SWT take any covenant with us? Yes, He did. From their lines, their descendants, and made them testify of themselves, saying to them, am I not your Lord? What do we learn from this? Allah SWT has already asked you and I, our souls, that am I not your Lord? And my soul, meaning you and I, have already replied to Allah SWT. They said, yes, we have testified this, lest you should say on the day of the resurrection, indeed, we were of this unaware. You know why Allah SWT did this? This is the security system of testimony Allah SWT did. So on a day of judgment, nobody can say, oh, I didn't know any Muslim. I didn't know any Quran. I was not aware of Islam. I didn't know. No, nobody can say that because Allah SWT will remind them, you took this covenant with Allah SWT. So what did we learn here? It is built in our system to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the people, the society that turns people away. As a Muslim, as a believer, we must believe that we will be facing one day to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 173. Or, lest you say, it was only that our father associated others in worship with Allah before and we were but descendants after them. Then would you destroy us for what the falsifiers have done? And thus do we explain in detail the verses. Perhaps they will return and recite to them. وَتَّ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبْعَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْصَلَحَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعُوا الشَّيْطَانُ فَقَالَ مِنَ الْغَابِينَ. And recite to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the news of him to whom we gave knowledge of our signs, but he detached himself from them. So Shaitan pursued him and he became one of the deviators. What do we learn? When people detach themselves from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaitan approaches that person and they become Shaitans. May Allah save us from this. Ayah number 176. And we had willed, we could have elevated him thereby, but he adhered instead to the earth and followed his own desire. So his example is like that of a dog. This is such a scary thing. I'm going to repeat this ayah again so we really truly get it. What we are learning in this ayah is that, and if we had willed, we could have elevated him thereby, but he adhered instead to the earth. Meaning, when people leave the spiritual book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came from the heaven, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then guess what happens? And followed his own desires. As a result, when people follow their own desires, meaning, there's only two things people can do. Either follow Allah, Iman, or follow themselves. The people who follow Allah, they stick to Quran, they are saved. And people start following their desires. What happens to them? They become so low, so lowly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them as example of a dog. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you chase him, he pants. Or if you leave him, he still pants. Meaning people become such a low-minded, they don't even care like a dog. If you pat the dog, he still pants. And if you don't pat the dog, he still pants. If you give him the food, he still pants. And if you don't give him the food, he still pants. Today, we live in a culture, in a society. People love dogs. People want to be like dogs. They purposely want to be like dogs. They have actually TV shows that you can put up your picture that don't look like a dog. And there was a competition somewhere that people would put up the picture of their dog with themselves. And if they resemble their dog, that they would get the prizes. This is how the humanity becomes. This is how low Shaitan makes the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made people the best of the nation, best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created with ahsan, but people come down to the level of a dog. And they're happy with it. And they follow their desire. Do you know why? Because they don't see the truth. They have this arrogance in them. Whatever they do, whatever they have, they're busy in it. They don't realize it. This is where the believers have to step in to talk to people and let the world know that somebody is there and you have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. May Allah save us from this kind of ignorance. It is very scary ayah. I want you to go home and ponder upon this ayah, ayah number 176. And then we learn how evil an example is that of people who denied our signs and used to wrong themselves. Allah SWT himself is saying how evil of the example that Allah SWT gave. Ayah number 178. Whoever Allah guides, may yadillahu fahuwa muhtadi. Whoever Allah guides, he is the one rightly guided. Do we want to be guided? If we do, listening to our right now. And whoever is sent astray, it is those who are the losers. Ayah number 179. And we certainly created for hell many of the jinn and mankind. They have hearts with which they do not understand. Hell is created for who? For the people who do not think through their heart, who do not try to learn anything, who try to live ignorant life. They have eyes with which they do not see. They have ears with which they do not hear. Those are like livestock. Rather, they are more stray. It is they who are the heedless. These ayahs are very scary ayahs. These ayahs require so much understanding and contemplation. Because if these ayahs are understood by people, do you think the world would be the same place the way it is? Or it would be a different place to live? People are too busy living their life like a deaf, dumb and blind. Allah SWT is saying they are even worse than dog. They are even worse than cattle who are just dying. You know, people are living the life of animals nowadays. People just get up and the only two worries they have is to fill the stomach and fulfill their sexual desires. And this is exactly what animals do. And this is why Allah SWT is comparing humans with this. It is so scary. Let's ask Allah SWT, Allah SWT, forgive us and make us among those who keep our eyes, ears and open our hearts for Allah SWT and the book of Allah SWT, and we become the ambassadors and the light of Islam that can light the hearts of others. And to Allah belongs the best. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. What do we learn here? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Meaning, and to Allah belongs the best names, so invoke Him by them. Allah has beautiful names. There are so many names. There are more than 99 names. And you know, when in Quran, when you recite Quran, you see the name of Allah comes in pairs, and it's so beautiful. So recite Allah's name. Ask Allah's, invoke Allah's mercy using His name. This is the best way, one of the best way we can make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also develops the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are asking His names and you're asking Him by using His attributes. It's like this, you know, when you, in this dunya, you ask somebody to give you something. Like, for example, if you call a person a teacher, teacher is a teacher, right? And you say, oh, teacher, you teach me. I love when you teach me. Don't you think it's going to make the teacher feel good that you're recognizing her as a teacher? There is no example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here, just to understand, if we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using His attributes, like for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens. If you make dua in your privacy in your room and you say, Ya Sami, O As-Sami, you are the listener. Don't you think it will be accepted? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you are calling me with my name of As-Sami. I am the one who listens. I will listen to your invocation. And leave the company of those who practice deviation concerning His names. Meaning, just stick to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen is. Do not try to go astray and add and subtract. They will be recompensed for what they have been doing. Ayah number 181. وَمِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. And among those we created is a community which guides by the truth and thereby establish justice. May Allah make us among those. Ayah number 182 to 188. Answer to their accusations. But those who deny our signs, we will progressively lead them to destruction. Very, very scary ayah number 182. وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But those who deny our signs, we will progressively lead them to destruction from where they do not know. You know, lack of iman doesn't come overnight. It happens over time. When a person does one lie, the second lie becomes easier. When a person leaves one class, leaving the second class becomes easier. When a person comes late one day, second day becomes easier. When a person makes one excuse, second excuse becomes easier. And before you know it, something big happens and people drop out. You know, sometimes people say, oh, this kind of, I'm not very interesting, but you know, I will see. And then what happens? All of a sudden, they're tested by giving a job. And they say, now the job offer has come, I have to go work. And they don't realize it, that this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to catch you right away and let you pull away from the truth slowly but surely. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the truth until our last breath. Because having Islam is one thing, and dying upon Islam is very important. وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. And I will give them time. Indeed, my plan is firm. Isn't that a scary ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you and I time to come back, to change. And it is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are sitting here learning His book. You should be, and I should be very grateful of this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do they not give thought? Question. Do I think right now? Are you thinking right now? Then there is in their companion, that is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no madness. He is not but a clear warner. Ayah number 185. Do they not look into the realm of the heavens and the earth and everything that Allah has created and think that perhaps their appointed time has come near, meaning the death? So in what statement, that is message hereafter, will they believe? Meaning, what they're going to do after that? Ayah number 186. Whoever Allah sends stray, there is no guide for him. Whoever Allah sends stray, there is no guide for him. مَنْ يُرْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And he leaves them in their transgression, wandering blindly. May Allah save from this. And Ayah number 187. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. They ask you, O Prophet, about the hour. Which hour? The Day of Judgment. When is it arrival? Say, its knowledge is only with my Lord. None will reveal its time except Him. It lays heavily upon the heavens and the earth. It will not come upon you except unexpectedly. They ask you, if you are familiar with it, say, its knowledge is only with Allah. But most of the people do not know. Say, I hold not for myself the power of benefit of harm except what Allah had willed. And if I knew the unseen, I could have acquired much wealth and no harm would have touched me. I am not except a warner and a bringer of good tidings to a people who believe. What do we learn? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is saying he is not giving any other power except whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. Imagine if Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given all those power, that means that he could have saved himself. He didn't have to fight in a battle. He would not get hurt in a battle. He would save his son from dying. He would save his daughter from getting divorced. He would save his uncle from dying, and he would save his uncle from dying before accepting Islam. Right? So there are a lot of things in the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People would put, you know, the camel's waste filth on behind his back. If he had the power, don't you think he could have saved himself? He was only given the power enough that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. So we understand very clear concept that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mortal human, and he was given whatever in this ayah we learn in ayah number 188. Ayah number 189 to 206. Oneness of Allah and humans. What do we learn in this ayah? Oneness of Allah and humans. Yeah, humans' desire. Ayah number 189. Sorry, right? So yeah. هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها. Beautiful ayah. It is He who created you from one soul. Who created us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From one soul only, and created from it its mate, that He might dwell in security with her. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the relationship of husband and wife here. Adam alayhi salam was alone, and the very first relationship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created on the face of this earth is what? It is the relationship of a husband and wife. What do we learn here? We learn here such a beautiful thing, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying here that being a wife, what are you to your husband? A peace and place of security. A husband should feel comfort when he's around a wife. And this is what the wife, good wife, is supposed to be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that when a husband and wife, they are the source of tranquility, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you with one soul. Now imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have created mother or father or children first, but no. You know what it shows? It shows the importance of this relationship. It shows the importance of this relationship, meaning this relationship is supposed to be nurtured and loved, and this is supposed to be the source of each other's peace and tranquility. Now, the question comes in people's mind that, oh, what if a husband is not that nice husband? The same question can be asked, what if this is the nice wife, not the nice wife? What do you do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you do your job and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes both ways. They're both supposed to be the source of comfort and tranquility for each other. But he might dwell in security with her, and when that is man covers her, she carries a light burden, that is pregnancy, and continues therein. And when it becomes heavy, they both invoke Allah. Dear Lord, if He should give us a child, we will surely be among the grateful. What do we learn here? When a husband and wife get together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a child, and that's when they make dua. They make dua because everybody's scared. They don't know what's going to happen. So they are very more likely to make dua that, Allah bless us with a good child and this child. And once you bless us with this blessing, we'll be very grateful to you. We'll do this to you and we'll do that to you. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, this is the human psychology we learn here. But when He gives them a good child, they ascribe partners to Him concerning that which He has given them. Exalted is Allah above what they associate with Him. What do we learn here? People, once they are given the blessing, they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they say, oh, it is a dua of certain sheikh. It is a dua of the grave that I, when I went to this grave and I made this dua, and it is because of them and because of this. They forget that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given you. Sometimes people cry for a baby for a long time, and if they don't get it, and finally they go through some kind of a medical process or something, and then when they get pregnant, they say, oh, this is because of the technology. Look, technology is so advanced, and this and all that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it is Allah who provides you all these things. It is Allah you should turn back to. It is Allah you should be grateful to. Ayah number 191. Do they associate with Him those who create nothing, and they are themselves created? And they, that is false deities, are unable to give them help, nor can they help themselves. And if you believers invite them to guidance, they will not follow you. It is all the same for you whether you invite them or you are silent. Indeed, those are the polytheists. Call upon besides Allah are servants, that is creation just like you. So call upon them and let them respond to you if you should be truthful. When people go to people and they say they are the one who's going to listen to their dua, this is a huge shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're just like you. If they cannot listen. Do they have feet by which they walk? Or do they have hands by which they strike? Or do they have eyes by which they see? Or do they have ears by which they hear? says Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call your partners and then conspire against me and give me no respite. Indeed, my protector is Allah, who has sent down the book, and he is an ally to the righteous. This ayah number 195 and 196 are teaching us about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those you call upon besides him are unable to help you, nor can they help themselves. looking at you while they do not see. Take what is given freely, enjoy what is good, and turn away from the ignorant. And if an evil suggestion come to you from shaitan, then seek refuge in Allah. Highlight this ayah, because shaitan is always enticing with evil suggestions in our minds. Why don't you just say it, speak up, it's okay, it's your right, and do it, go ahead and do that. Nobody's watching and stuff like that, and gossiping and all those things. These are the evil incitement of shaitan. Then seek refuge in Allah. What do we learn here? First, ta'iz billah, innahu samiyun alim. Indeed, he is hearing and knowing. Indeed, those who fear Allah, when an impulse touches them from shaitan, they remember him, and at once they have insight. But their brothers, that is the devils, increase them in error. Again, more ayahs about devils. Why? Because shaitan is our severe, open, fierce enemy. And then they do not stop short. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do not bring them a sign that is miracle, they say, why you have not contrived it? Say, I only follow what is revealed to me from your Lord. This Quran is enlightenment from your Lord and guidance and mercy. Highlight this part. Oh Allah, make this Quran enlightenment for our heart and mercy for us and guidance for us. For a people who believe, so when the Quran is recited, then listen to it and pay attention that you may receive mercy. Ayah number 204 is telling us something. When recitation is being done, do you talk? When the recitation is being done, do you wander around somewhere else? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you should listen to the reciting of the Quran quietly. You know why? So you may earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 205, and remember your Lord, within yourself is humility and in fear without being apparent in speech in the mornings and the evenings, and do not be among the heedless. Indeed, those who are near your Lord, that is the angels, are not prevented by arrogance from his worship, and they exalt him, and to him they prostrate. This last ayah is an ayah of sujood. Ulama say that you have to prostrate, but it is not fard, it is not mandatory. You can do it now if you want, you can do it later, and if you don't do it, that's okay. You will not be punished, but it is something to show humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're in a position, you should do that. What? Prostrate when you recite this ayah. Why? Because you are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusabbihunahu wa lahu yasjudun. Here, inshallah, the beautiful surah Al-Araf finish, and the surah Al-Anfal will begin shortly, inshallah. Let's listen to the recitation of these ayahs of surah Al-Anfal, and then we'll go for the tafsir, inshallah.
يسألونك عن الأنفال قل الأنفال لله والرسول فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة الأنفال. Anfal means the booty, the war booty. This is a plural of Nafil. And this surah was revealed after the war when there was a question that how can this, this surah is about the distribution of the spoils of the war, right? They ask you, yes, alunaka anil anfal. They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the ayah number 1 to 10, these ayahs are about basically Battle of Badr. We have touched upon Battle of Badr in Surah Al-Baqarah 2. Here are some more details. Here we learn about the war booty, what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to distribute it. So they were asking this question. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask gave them the answer when they asked. The answer of this question will come after 40th ayah, which is going to be tomorrow, and the juz 10. But here, just starts with this question. Yes, alunaka anil anfal. They ask you, O Prophet, about the bounties of the war. So, what do we learn here? Qul al-anfalu lillahi wa rasul. Say, the decision concerning bounties is for Allah and the Messenger. So, fear Allah. Wa aslihu dhata baynakum. And amend that which is between you, and obey Allah and His Messenger if you should be believers. This battle was fought in the second years of Hijrah, just 2 years after Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated to Medina. It was fought about in the month of Ramadan. And this was an unexpected battle. Muslims were not expecting it to fight in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right there. But this happened. Why? Because Allah wanted to clear some facts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give them victory, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show them that yes, it's possible. Allah's help will come. Now, when the battle was won, there was a huge fitna after that. Why? Because the most intelligent and reasonable people, they were asking and arguing about what to do and how to distribute this war booty. And this was the first time the Muslims had encountered this issue of the war, right? Before that, that was not the case. So over here, in Surah Al-Anfal, how the booty is to be distributed, the law and the Muslims are reminded that you fought not for the money. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not answer them here. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only said, they belong to Allah and His Messenger. Meaning, keep your intentions straight. Did you fight this war for the war booty? If that's the case, then that's not something that you should be doing anyway. So why are you asking? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically doing the mindset here that this thing is for Allah and His Rasul. Lillahi wa Rasul. And what you should do is, Fattakullah, fear Allah. Very good lesson we learn here. You know, sometimes when we are given the blessings, we get too much worry about what to do and how to do and how to spend this blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, upon receiving the blessing, you should know that this is from Allah, this is for Allah, and you should be grateful, and you should fear Allah upon receiving blessings. Sometimes when we have blessings in our life, instead of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get too busy using those blessings. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa aslihu dhata baynakum," and amend the relationship that are between you. You need to think about mending your relationships out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because pleasant mutual relationship is what matters, right? They are far more important than money. Instead of working on earning more money, this is what we see, the lifestyle today. People are working like crazy. Two income families is a very common thing, and that they think that this is where the success lies and this is where the happiness will come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no. Wa aslihu dhata baynakum. You should work on your relationship. Try to give time to each other. Try to spend time. You know why? Because this is where the success lies. If you look at the seerah, Muslims never suffered loss before because of the lack of resources, because of the lack of money, because of the few numbers. No. If ever they suffered, from the harm, it was because of their disagreements. You know? So this is what we see here. We see that in Badr, they were united. And in Uhud, what happened? A small disagreement happened and they lost the war. So here, Muslims are told, why are you worried about the money? Ghatabainakum, fix that, amend that, which is between you, meaning your relationship with Allah, your relationship with people, and do not worry about risk, because people worry about risk too much. Then, innamal mu'minuna ladina idha dhukirallahu wajilat qulubuhum. The believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful. And when His verses are recited to them, it increases them in faith. And upon their Lord, they rely. Such a beautiful ayah, ayah number 2. We learn here is that this is the qualities of the believer. Does it feel happy or does it feel to be afraid? Meaning, what we learn here is that we need to check ourselves that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is mentioned, does the state of my heart change? Do I feel good mentioning Allah's name, or do I feel burdened listening to Allah's name? The zikr of Allah should move the heart. And it does. If it does not move the heart, then that means the heart is hardened. We, as believers, we really need to check our hearts, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the condition of the heart many places. And qalbi salim is the heart that is sound heart, secure heart, the heart that has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it and nothing else in it. You know, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, of the 7 people who will be given shade under the throne of Allah on the day of judgment, one of them is who? One of them will be the person when Allah remembers Allah when he's alone and his eyes swell with tears. Meaning, in your privacy of your own home, at night when the whole world is sleeping, tears should come out, and this is what the heart should be with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And this is something that must happen, that when a person hears the ayat, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, it increases them in faith. Meaning, this may happen in a gathering, that it may happen in salah, right? But it may not happen when a person is alone. So listening to the Quran is a must for every heart. We should do that because it increases the iman. It increases the level of iman. And then, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and upon their Lord, they rely. Then, the one who established prayer, and for what we have provided them, they spend. Write down all these in sequence. What are the requirements for the softer heart? First, you have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have to have tawakkul, and you have to feel fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with taqwa, and then you cannot miss the salah. Just because I have tears last night, last month, or last year in my eyes, I'm all saved. No, they establish salah on a regular basis, and from what we have provided them, they spend. Meaning, they're not stingy. Those are the believers. Truly for them are degrees of high position with their Lord and forgiveness and noble provision. What do we learn here? The provision comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People spend time, so much time, earning money. In fact, their whole life focus from the childhood to grown up is that how can I earn more money? Earning money is ibadah if you have a right intention. Earn money good way and halal way and spend on halal things, that's when it becomes an ibadah. But do not worry about it. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed upon you. Whatever you're supposed to get, you're going to get, no matter how much you work or you don't. So there's a beautiful balance that we need to develop. A personality of a believer is about balance. It's not like sitting at home twiddling thumbs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide me. No, it doesn't work like that. Or it's not like going crazy over earning money and then at the end of the day say, this is my effort, my job, I am the one who did that. It is just as when your Lord brought you out from your home for the battle of Badr in truth, while indeed a party among the believers were unwilling, meaning they were still mentally not prepared for battle, arguing with you concerning the truth after it had become clear, as if they were being driven towards death while they were looking on, meaning they were afraid to face this war. They didn't want to do it. Remember, O believers, when Allah promised you one of the true groups, meaning who were the two groups there? They were traveling, and there was this group who was actually a merchant, and they were going for the business, and the other one was actually prepared for the war. Muslim wanted to fight people who were coming for the caravan that was coming for the business, but they were encountered with the other group who was prepared for the fighting. It would be yours, and you wish that an unarmed one would be yours, meaning the one who was traders. They were going for the business reason. But Allah intended to establish the truth by His word and to eliminate the disbelievers, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a bigger plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to know that disbelievers to know that they will be defeated. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them encounter to this other group. لِيُحَقَّ الْحَقَّ وَيُبْطِلَ الْبَاطِلَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, that he should establish that truth and abolish falsehood even if the criminals disliked it. Remember, when you ask help of your Lord and He answered you, why? Because Allah, because there's nothing more honorable near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua. So make sure we all need to ask dua. Allah answered you, your call upon Him, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called upon Allah with much hope at this time, so much so that his sheet that he was wearing, it fell down. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, enough, you have prayed enough. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept on making dua. Question, how much dua you and I ask? We ask one or two or six and du'as, and say we have been asking for so many times, our du'a is not answered. You know, they say if you truly want it, the hajjah did. Meaning, if you truly want any of your du'a to be accepted, cry your heart out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen to you. And in that, upon that, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, should I not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that who is the one who is going to give? And then, is tastaghithuna rabbakum? You are asking your Lord, and He answered you. Indeed, I will reinforce you with 1,000 from the angels following one another. And Allah made it not but good tidings, so that your hearts would be assured thereby. And victory is not from Allah. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise, meaning it is not about the numbers, it is not about the resources, it is not about your own effort. Yes, you can do the effort, but the victory comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we learn from this ayah is that sometimes we rely upon ourselves, our efforts too much. At the end of the day, when the job is not done right, we say, how come? So we need to know everything happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more you rely, the more better the better the result will be. Ayah number 11 to 19, Allah's help in Badr. Remember, when He overwhelmed you with drowsiness, giving security from Him, and sent down upon you from the sky rain by which to purify you and remove from you the evil suggestions of shaitan, and to make steadfast your hearts and plant firmly thereby your feet. So the Muslims are being reminded here that, you know, there are the various forms of help of Allah can come to them. And here even sleep is mentioned. What do you understand? Meaning sleep, the drowsiness that took over the people of Badr, even though the enemy was right there. What do we learn from this? We learn when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to help, even when enemy is right in front of you, even the person who's trying to harm you, you will have the tranquility and peace in your heart, and you can have the drowsiness. Remember, when your Lord inspired to the angels, I am with you, so strengthen those who have believed, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. So strike them upon the necks and strike from them every fingertip. Why? That is because they opposed Allah and His Messenger. What do we learn here? In the proper battlefield, you should be very, you can do all this. Why? Because they are fighting against Allah. And whoever opposed Allah and His Messenger, indeed, Allah is severe in penalty. This is in the context of Battle of Badr. That is yours, so taste it. And indeed, for the disbelievers is the punishment of the fire. O you who have believed, when you met those who disbelieved advancing for battle, do not turn to them your backs in fight. What have we learned here? Very, very important ayah. When you go to do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once you have started some task, when you are started, and do not turn back. In battle of field, when a believer turns their back, it is a major sin. It is one of the major sin. And in our life, what we can learn here is that once we make up our mind and to do something, do not back off. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it. It's one thing. Sometimes people make too big of a commitment to themselves and they're not able to keep up. Rather, it is best for you and I to make a commitment which is maybe small, but is consistent. Because consistency is the key. And whoever turns his back to them on such day, unless serving as a strategy for war or joining another company, has certainly returned with anger upon him from Allah. And his refuge is hell, and wretched is the destination. Why? Because you have started something, it is always best to complete it. If you leave in the middle, yeah, I'll do it sometime later. What happens? You never end up completing it. Isn't that so? Ayah number 17. And you will not kill them, but it was Allah who killed them. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. And you threw not, O Prophet, when you threw, but it was Allah who threw. What do we learn here? Best example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving. You know, when you and I make an effort, we think we are the one who is doing it, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this case is telling us that Prophet ﷺ is the one who threw that dust. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, it was Allah who threw it. That means we need to really change our sentences. The way we talk, the way we do things, everything has to be attributed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshallah, the success will come, the iman will increase, the taqwa will enter the heart. It is our sentences that tells us how arrogance we have it in their body or not. Because the people who are arrogant, they always say, look, I'm so smart. Look, this was such a genius move I made. I won this war. I won this game because of my ability. And these are all sentences that shows the arrogance of the heart. Because whatever is in the heart, it comes out in your sentences. So try to observe yourself. Try to record your speech. Whenever you are talking to somebody, how do you say? You'll be amazed. If you only do it only one or a couple of times, you'll know how many times we use words like these, that it is me, it is mine, it is my effort, and all those things. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says here, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. That He might test the believers with good tests. Indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing. That is so. And also that Allah will weaken the plot of the disbelievers. And if you disbelievers seek the victory, the defeat has come to you. Because we have already learned that mushrikeen, the 1,000 men, they left Makkah, right? Before they left, they went to the Kaaba and they held the kiswa. Kiswa means the clothing of the Kaaba. And they prayed, O Allah, whoever is upon the truth, grant him success. So Allah says, you ask for victory, the defeat has come to you. And if you desist from hostilities, it is better for you. But if you return to war, we will return. And never will you be availed for by your large company at all, even if it should increase. And that is because Allah is with the believers. O you who have believed, obey Allah and His Messenger, and do not turn from His from Him while you hear His order. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. And do not be like those who say, we have heard, while they have not heard. You know why? Because if they had heard, their actions would have shown. People who say, yeah, I know. But how come you don't see it in their lifestyle? People say, I know Quran. You know, whenever you invite somebody to Quran, they say, I read Quran every day. I read one juz every day. I already do the meaning at home too. Then how come you don't see it in their lifestyle that it is already displayed? Because whatever you hear, whatever goes in your heart, it has to come out in your action. This is why Islam and Iman are two different things. What is Islam? Islam is something that is, you do it. Like, for example, five pillars of Islam. Salah is Islam. Fast is Islam. Zakah is Islam. All the rituals that you physically do is Islam. But Iman is something that is inside your heart. Meaning, when there is Iman, that's when the Islam comes out. When there is no Iman, then there is no Islam. Meaning, they both go hand in hand. If Islam is there, Iman has to be there. Iman is there, Islam has to be there. Meaning, your inside heart should manifest in your action, in your salah, in your love. If we claim that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it should display in our thoughts, in a pattern, in our lifestyle, in our decision making, in what we do, how do we deal with people, and all these things. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, once in a while he was standing on a minbar. He said, be merciful and you will be treated with mercy. Forgive and Allah will forgive you. Woe to those who only hear, meaning they just hear and they don't remember, they don't listen. Meaning they forget about it. So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we're listening right now, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it permanent in our heart and really give us the ability so we can really learn all this in detail, inshallah. So what have we learned here is that those who only hear, they don't change. You don't see in their action. And when people really take it personally to their heart, that's when you see the change. Ayah number 23. Had Allah known any good in them, He would have made them hear. And if He had made them hear, they would still have turned away while they were refusing. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu istajibu lillahi wa rasool. O you who have believed, respond to Allah and the Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life, and that you know and know that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart, and that to Him you will be gathered. Meaning, Allah knows what goes in our hearts. Allah knows your feelings. Allah knows your intentions. Allah knows your fears. Allah knows your problems. Allah knows your worries. So He knows when He orders you to do something, do it, because Allah knows you can do it. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created our bodies. Allah is the one who fashioned our bodies. He knows what the capability is. It's like this. You know, when you buy a blending machine, it tells you this much horsepower this machine can take and this much grinding power this machine has. Why? Because the manufacturer knows it. Allah knows when you and I can endure patience. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep on reminding to have patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that taqwa is something we can develop. That this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep on reminding that develop taqwa. Allah knows what we can and whether we can hold our anger inside or not, because He's the one who fashioned our bodies this way. So the lesson for this is, do not delay and do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. And then, of course, ayah number 25. And fear a trial which will not strike those who have wronged among you exclusively. Because if they don't stop those doing wrong, they could be caught by the same punishment as well. وَعَلِمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And know that Allah is severe in penalty. Ayah number 26. And remember, when you were few and oppressed in the land, fearing that people might abduct you, but He sheltered you. He supported you with His victory and provided you with good things that you might be grateful. O you who have believed, do not betray Allah and His Messenger or betray your trust while you know the consequences. What do we learn in this ayah? Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to do something, say labbaik right away. Why? Because this is the end goal. Always, whatever command comes your way, whatever hukum comes on your way, whatever opportunity Allah provides you to do any good, people sometimes take it easy. I'll do it next month. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. No, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends in any opportunity for towards you to do something, help somebody out, call somebody, or whatever it may be, do it right then and there. Why? Because tomorrow you may know, you may never know that opportunity will be taken away from you. And this is what the theme topic for this ayah number 20 to 28 was. Say labbaik whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you an ayah. وَعَلَمُ أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. And know that your properties and your children are but trial, and that Allah is with him a great reward. You know why? Because sometimes when people stick to what their homes and they're not able to do anything for Allah, it is because of them. And sometimes they use as their wealth, and we have to take care of this stuff and that stuff. Sometimes they make excuses for the kids. So Allah SWT is saying, if you use them against Allah, then they will become fitna. If you use them towards Allah, then they will become blessings. So ayah number 29. From ayah number 29 to 37, we learned that people of Quraysh and their strategies. O you who have believed, if you fear Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Beautiful. He will grant you a criterion. What do we learn in this ayah? Meaning, when you have taqwa, when a person develops taqwa in their in themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them ability to differentiate between right and wrong. They're easier to judge for them that, oh, this is something I shouldn't be doing. This is something, this is not right. In other words, taqwa increases your eyesight. Taqwa gives you insight of the things. People, when people see things and they find fun and stuff, the people of taqwa are able to see right through those fun and try to see the consequences. You know, sometimes when people are dieting and they want to, they see some kind of a food and they get indulged in it and they feel bad about it. So this is basically just an example. When a people of taqwa, when they see something that may be appearing fun to other people, but to them, they see, no, if I indulge myself in this thing, that means I will lose the hereafter. And their eyes become far-sighted, and they are able to see right through the problems that they're facing, and they see the end result if they stay patient. Let's make the ayah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you and I with taqwa. And will remove from you your misdeeds and will forgive you. And Allah is the possessor of the great bounty. Highlighted. Allah can remove anything, any misdeeds, any problem that we have. And nothing stops Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 30. And remember, when those are disbelief plotted against you to restrain you or kill you or evict you from Makkah, meaning for Hijrah, but they plan and Allah also plans. And Allah is the best of the planner. And when our verses are recited to them, they say, we have heard and we will, we could say something like this. Meaning, they're not impressed by the Quran. They're actually trying to challenge it. We can say something like that too. This is not but legends of the former people. They say, oh, this Quran is just filled with stories. So what are we going to do learning the old people's story? And remember, when they said, oh Allah, if this should be the truth from you, then rain down, and then rain down upon a stone from the sky or bring us a painful punishment. I want you to highlight this sentence because this sentence is a mirror of your of a person's arrogance. Because when a person becomes arrogant, they say, why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must like me. This is why I'm living so happily more than you. I am blessed more than you. I have a 2-car garage. I have a 4 cars. I have shiny house. I have a bigger things. And you, on the other hand, you're suffering even though you live restrained life. You think you are a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maybe unhappy with you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me, not you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it makes them so arrogant that they say that throw a stone rain upon us. Arrogant people do that. May Allah save us from the arrogance, inshallah. You know what Allah says? Allah says, but Allah would not punish them while you, meaning Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are among them. And Allah would not punish them while they seek forgiveness. 2 things are mentioned here. When sunnah is in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us. And when people keep on doing istighfar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings protection. So what do we learn here is that, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Because when people are asking for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows mercy upon them. Today, we are living in a time that the best thing we can do to whole ummah and to help ourselves and our future generation is to istighfar in abundance. No matter what you are doing throughout the day, whatever you are doing, keep your tongue moist. You know why? Because especially in this month of Ramadan, and of course throughout the year, when the tongue is busy in istighfar, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the doors of mercy upon us. Don't we want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One day, one person came and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him whatever excuse or question he had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, do istighfar. And the second came and the third came. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told all of them to do istighfar. You know why? Because istighfar is a solution for everything. But why should Allah not punish them while they obstruct people from Al-Masjid al-Haram and they were not fit to be its guardians? Its true guardians are not but the righteous, but most of them do not know. And their prayer at the house was not except whistling and hand clapping, meaning when they would go to the Kaaba to worship, this is what they do. So taste the punishment for what you disbelieve. Today also, some people have different versions of following Allah's deen. They have different kinds of gatherings they gather, and they have different kinds of way that they think that they're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 36. Indeed, those who disbelieve spend their wealth to avert people from the way of Allah, so they will spend it. Then it will be for them a source of regret. Then they will overcome, and those who have disbelieved unto hell, they will be gathered. May Allah save us from bad ending like this. Ayah number 37. This is so that Allah may distinguish the wicked from the good and place the wicked, some of them upon others, and heap them all together and put them into hell. It is those who are the losers. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. This is what the real bankruptcy is. When people have nothing, in spite of having in this dunya everything, they may be the richest and the prosper, but they will be the one who will be the losers. Ayah number 38. From ayah number 38 to 40, Deen of Allah will prevail. This juz is ending in a very good message, meaning Allah, it is his part of our iman that our iman, our Islam will be established one day. For even if it's not there when you and I are living, but what we can do is, what is required from us is to put our share towards that. So on the day of judgment, we can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I tried to put my share in it, and that's all I could do. Let's make an intention right now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to do that. Ayah number 38. Say to those who have disbelieved that if they cease, what has previously occurred will be forgiven for them. But if they return to hostility, then the precedent of the former, meaning rebellious people, has already taken place. And fight them until there is no fitna and until the religion, all of it, is for Allah. And if they cease, then indeed Allah is seeing of what they do. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, but if they turn away, فَعَلِمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَاكُمْ, then know that Allah is the protector. نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ, excellent is the protector and excellent is the helper. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the last slide, basically, we just learned few du'as, inshallah. And if the dua that I mentioned in the beginning, that dua, we need to realize that we need to memorize that. And what was the dua, if you remember? If you can go back to the first slide, if it's possible. The dua for the arrogance that we have. Allahumma inni a'udhubika min ilmin la yanfa'u, wa min qalbin la yashau, wa min nafsin la tashfa'u, wa min da'watin la yustajabu laha. O Allah, indeed, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that is not beneficial, and from a heart that does not fear you, and from a soul that is not satisfied, and from a prayer that is not answered. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He softens our heart and accept us. And arrogance is something that we need to stay away from. We need to try very hard and try to realize where is the arrogance in our life. And this ayah number 126 and ayah number 151 of Surah Al-A'raf are the du'as that came in this juz. With that, inshallah, subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullah khairan kaseera, wahsan jaza, Sister Faiza, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. What a delight, what a delight, alhamdulillah. Every juz we learn so many lessons, subhanallah. We get glad tidings, we get warnings. So, if we are true Muslims, if we are true, we claim that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to take each and every lesson seriously, each and every warning seriously, and inshallah wa ta'ala be the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we completed our today's target with ease, with the immense blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam was discussed in detail in this juz. And Musa alayhi salam is one of the prophets who was tested the most and is also one of the most mentioned prophets in Quran. Subhanallah, the qualities of a believer we saw. What is the condition of his heart? So do we desire to be under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shade on the day of judgment? The day when it will be so hot and people will be soaked in their sweat. Then we have to acquire the qualities. I would like you to please just write each quality one by one, so we can remind ourselves, inshallah wa ta'ala, how we can attain those qualities. Everyone should write one, inshallah wa ta'ala. Humble yourself, yes, alhamdulillah. And patience. Mm-hmm. Ask Allah's forgiveness, patience. All right. Be grateful to Allah, believe, truthful. Mm-hmm. I was just mentioning the qualities, the precise qualities. Control your desires. Yeah, this is a journal, point you are taking from Be Active Muslim. Okay, both write you. Always give credit to Allah. Exactly, alhamdulillah. Whatever success we receive in this life, whatever blessing we get, it is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are inflicted with any kind of pain or grief, so it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too, seeking forgiveness. Yes? How do we put it? Correct our speech, fear of Allah, taqwa, increase the vision. Don't be arrogant, victory comes from Allah, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. So if there is any pain is inflicted upon us, it is what our doing is, what we are doing wrong. It is, the outcome of our actions. So we have to be very careful. The qualities of the believer, I was discussing that heart is fearful upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zikr. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayahs are recited upon them, they tremble. Taqwa should be developed, alhamdulillah. Trust Allah in good or evil, there is lesson. Yes, alhamdulillah. Every ayah has a lesson from us. And I was thinking that when Musa alayhi salam's story was told, was it told because we need to learn a history lesson? Why it was told? Then what was the reason behind? They should learn, We should take lessons from. We should take lessons. Yes, alhamdulillah. Okay, alhamdulillah. What will be the reward of people of Iman? Since we want, of course, we desire and we struggle, we strive to be the people of Iman, inshallah wa ta'ala. So what reward we are expecting, or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, what rewards we'll get? We will not make the same mistakes. Exactly. Learning lesson is that is what Jannah. Alhamdulillah. their statuses will be raised with your, with their Lord. They will receive maghfirah and the best risk. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Victory, we won't go back. Yes, exactly. Subhanallah. Let's conclude our class. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among such people. Ameen, summa ameen. We want to be the best believers, inshallah wa ta'ala. Beautiful journey we are going through. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So many glad tidings, hope of mercy, and maghfirah from our Lord. Subhanallah. Every day, in every juz, we receive that. So my dear sisters, once we have to decide, once we received all these glad tidings and warnings, we have to decide if we want and desire while we are going through this journey. Every day when we hear a glad tiding and we do dua in our heart, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy of that. When we get the glad tidings, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. And may we are not among those people. So we decide and we pray, and then obviously, inshallah wa ta'ala, the angels will say ameen, since it's a blessed gathering of angels. Exactly. It should be with us every day. Not, we should not open it Ramadan only. It should be, part of our living. Whatever we do every day, just like we eat, breathe, you know, sleep. So it should be part of that. It should be one of the things we do every day, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we have to do a self-check that our efforts will, our efforts will show us, you know, like which direction we are heading. Then we have to do loads of du'as. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hikmah to make the right decisions for ourselves when we have time and we have health. Alhamdulillah. May we are safe from the arrogance. May we take lessons from the nature, from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we increase our taqwa. May we increase our love for our Lord and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Take good care of yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Keep us in His ifzoman, in His afiyat. And inshallah wa ta'ala, if life permitted, if health permitted, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will see you tomorrow with Juz 10th, biznillah. Ameen, summa ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from any and every kind of shar and shar of shaitan. Ameen, summa ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-aleem. Watubu alayna innaka anta at-tawwabu al-raheem. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasuli khayri khalqihi Muhammadin. وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله.